Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Just I don't even know where to begin. Goldberg's Garage, the one man show. It's
Yeah, things have been busy. Things have been hectic. It's funny you didn't think that when you built the garage and started focusing on the YouTube videos and then the ranch, you didn't realize, probably didn't realize how busy it was going to be. It is, although it's walking distance from where you live, or
Yeah, I
it's
never really understood. I never understood, right? I asked for a perfect situation to where I can film in my house, and I have it. And yes, it's a lot more than I assumed. But it's all good, man. It's all good. I'm
yeah,
not going to
that's
complain. And
it.
oh, guess what? Happens to be my anniversary today.
Yeah, happy
So,
anniversary.
well, thanks, man. I mean, it's just add that to the list. You know, we're filming in the background or doing podcast. We got lunch, man, all kind of shit. Anyway, what's going on in the car world?
I mean, it's if Wanda's back, she was, I don't know, last we spoke, she was hunting a lost animal. I don't even remember what it was.
Oh yeah, there's so many storylines that have gone and that have come and gone since then. Yeah, I don't even know where we're at right now
Yeah.
today.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this yet, but there is a little bit of news coming from GM. They're just teasing the ZR1.
Nice.
And they just put up a little teaser video. And I don't think you can hear it, but maybe we can share the. You can see it on our YouTube channel.
Gotta like that.
Yeah, look, it's cool. It's interesting coming out. Oop, now I got ads running in the background. Coming out this summer. The guys that earlier this week when we spoke to Alistair, they took the E-Ray, the Corvette E-Ray, and did their U-Drags video against the McLaren 750S,
Yeah.
both those cars insane, but the E-Ray being all-wheel drive with electric motors on the front and of course the gas engine in the back, that thing hooked up again and again and just launched. Like that thing was so fast, 0 to 60. It was definitely faster 0 to 60, at least on that launch, than the McLaren. Now I think the McLaren ultimately had the horsepower in the end to kind of pull away, but that thing is so insane, but its performance is almost right on where the Z06 is, right? And that's doing it with all motor. So now if you turn up the wick to somewhere around an 850 horsepower twin turbo 5.5 liter V8, that's kind of the rumored power plant on it. The ZR1 is going to be cool, but now they've upped their game as well. You're probably looking at $140,000. So you're not at the beginning of six digits on, on
Yeah,
the
it's 20
Corvette.
grand less, 20 grand less than my 170.
Yeah.
Put it in perspective. It's
Yeah.
20 grand more than a TRX.
Yeah.
Put it in perspective.
But it's gonna be insane. When those guys gave up they just sold their C8. So what Alistair was saying was is they had the C8 that they bought. If you remember, he was on the podcast with us 3 years ago saying, we want to get one. We just want like base with the Z51 package, get it around $80,000. They didn't want a $100,000 Corvette. And they were going to keep it for a year and put 10, 12,000 miles on it. They ended up keeping it for 3 years, put 30,000 miles on it because everybody there loved it and loved driving it. And they finally, I think, sold it to make room for something else. But they absolutely love that car. Just the performance, the handling, the comfort, just everything they really, really dug on that car. So, yeah, ZR1 could be pretty badass.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. And I'm sure they'll take VIN number one. It'll be at Barrett Jackson and they'll announce the car in the summer, right? And then even if they deliver a few, they'll pick off VIN one and bring it to Barrett Jackson for charity, and Rick Hendricks will buy it for $500,000.
Yeah, well, Hendrick, yeah, it's yeah. We'll see. You know, that's usually where it's going to go.
That's usually kind of
all the GM stuff.
It's kind of where it all heads out. So the big news today, literally as we're recording this, is Toyota released the details on the new 4Runner, and the 4Runner basically being built on the Tacoma chassis. So you're going to see some similarities as far as suspension and interior and stuff, but being sort of a frame vehicle, this on this new architecture, similar powertrains, it's going to have the 4-cylinder and the optional hybrid. But it looks tough. It's filling in all the blanks for what you want from a 4Runner. I mean, we don't have the 6-cylinder engine anymore, but I just drove the hybrid combination in another vehicle that Toyota had. I think it was in the Lexus though. So here we're just kind of looking at some of the photos here. The iForce Max 2.4 liter will do, you know, I don't know, 326 horsepower. I think the Tacoma base model is available with a manual transmission. That won't be the case with the 4Runner. I just don't know that they're going to sell any. There's going to be a bunch of different models that do, as you would expect. There's the Toyota, the TRD Pro, and there's a Limited, and there's a Platinum, and in various trim levels. My guess is they're going to be somewhere in the mid to low $40,000 range and work their way up to the mid to or so 50s, call it $45,000 to $55,000 range. One of the features that they continued was the roll down glass in the back. Here we're looking at a little bit of an animation of it on the YouTube channel, but yeah, listen, I think it's gonna do well for them. They're definitely going after this kind of tougher look that they've been leaning into for a while. Here's some shots of the interior. So if you're familiar with the Tacoma, it's probably not going to be a huge departure in that sense, but this is a pretty significant vehicle for them. This has been, I don't know, it's been a long time since we've gotten a new 4Runner. So this has definitely been in the works for a while.
Yeah, and that doesn't look like far departure from their normal styling. It's just,
yeah,
just enhanced.
Yeah, 100%. Totally right. Yeah.
That's good look.
And look, I'm sure we're gonna start to see them at SEMA as well. They're gonna start getting outfitted and it's gonna take over the off-road section of that show, along with Jeeps and Broncos have been doing for a long time now. It's gonna be a cool piece.
Speaking of cool pieces, do you see that picture I just texted you?
No, I don't have the text yet. Hit send. No, don't have it.
It is, I'll send you.
Today's, what else we got going on?
Oh, it went to your email.
Yeah, you can email me a picture. That's all right.
It did. That's where it went. Oh, here we go. Talking about cool.
Yeah.
On today's docket, we have a veteran coming by at noon. Compadres is coming by with some food, and we're taking a drive in the number one 2020 Charger Daytona with 17 miles on.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And it's parked right next to the 69 Hemi Charger, both in B5 blue, which is a shot that I don't know if many people have seen. I wish it was the Daytona, obviously, but
yeah,
you know, 50 year anniversary of that car, and pretty bitching to have them sitting next to each other. So we're going to get some great shots today.
Did Dodge Dodge brought that color back for the new version, or was
just for the 50th anniversary for the chart for the Daytona only. It was a B5 was an option.
Yeah. So you guys are shooting a video with that today? Well, you're gonna start shooting? Yeah, you can start shooting. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yep. But we figured we'd get some beauty shots of those two cars next to each other. It's a pretty iconic shot.
And that's one of the few cars left that you don't really plan to drive much, right? That was the one that you had up on the lift.
We'll put it this way. Remember the last time you saw the vehicle, it still had all of the tape on the fender flares.
Yeah, right.
Well, I videoed me pulling it off last night. I can't believe I did it.
Yeah.
But I had to. I washed the car for the first time. I wanted to get it ready for today. It deserves to be washed. You can only keep, it's only brand new once.
Right.
Right. And you know, it doesn't look brand new anymore, but it is what it is.
Yeah. It's fine. It's a cool car. It's a cool piece. And having the pair, the old one as well. I see why you got it.
And it doesn't hurt. And it doesn't hurt that it's number one out of 501. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a pretty damn cool car. It's really hard for me not to drive it, but today I might put a mile or two on.
Drive the old one.
I already did. I'm going to drive. We're going to take both of them out today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool combination. But you're right. Like if you had it and it was just a wrapper car forever, you just have to put it in the big plastic bubble next to the lawman, and even the lawman you'll take out every now and then because that one, the miles are a little less relevant. It had miles on it. It's rebuilt. And that's just, you know, so doing exhibition stuff or showing the car off or hitting the drag strip or the airstrip, if you will.
If I took it out, I don't know, to three events a year.
Yeah.
What do I put up? Is that a mile? I mean,
right.
So, I mean, realistically, yeah. I mean,
right. You have to use it for the next.
To a lot of events, I would not accrue many miles. I mean, that's just the fact.
The next parade for the local football team.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like the Candymatic. We're going to shoot the Candymatic coming up soon. And I mean, I took it down the drag strip in 06, I think, twice in Ohio. And other than that, where can you drive? Where are you going to accrue mileage on a drag car?
Right.
On a super stock car. So, I mean,
it's only got to go down the drag strip. You got to trailer it over there. All right, let's see what else is going on. Ford's made some updates to the Mach-E. They are increasing the range a little bit, increasing the performance a little bit, trying to continue to make that a kind of a fun, viable version of an electric SUV. It's pretty quick. I mean, already the Mach-E GT performance was like 0-60 in 3.5 seconds. Now they're saying 3.3. So that'll scoot along pretty good. The non-GT models get about 20 miles of extra range. So about 250 on the base battery, 320 on the extended range battery. And then the GT gets 10 miles of range to 280. So if you want the GT, 280 miles. And then the Mach-E Rally, which was kind of a cool piece that they showed off, which was the fastest one when they debuted it with a little bit of a lift on it. The range on that was 265 miles. But now the GT Performance is going to be a little quicker than that. But I think that's quicker than the Model Y Performance and the Porsche Macan 4, the electric
stupid
version.
Question, but the update's a free charge, right?
Oh, so no, this is only on when you buy the new vehicle, the 2024. I don't know that it's all over the air updates. I think there's some hardware involved, which is it like a lot of refreshes, you know, like the Porsche Taycan's getting a refresh and they had to do new architecture, new battery, whatever. But that's an interesting point is will there be some upgrades over the air? So I haven't driven my Lightning in a while because I've been driving different vehicles and putting the wheels on it. And tires were back ordered. And now that I've been driving it, like the past couple of days, it's been doing software upgrades, you know, powertrain upgrades, infotainment upgrades, and it's got Alexa and it's got, you know, things that they've been doing to it on a fairly regular basis. I haven't really read much about if there's a range improvement, but overall there, a lot of the improvements are just kind of behind the scenes, just efficiency and how it works. And there's a few features that have popped up over the air. When we got the truck, it would show you, I think it was showing me distance on my range, but not battery percentage. And you had to switch screens to get that. And then, I don't know, I guess just enough people were like, why aren't you just showing us both? And then there was an update. We fired up our trucks the next morning, and on the screen on the left side, it started showing you both. And so I think if enough people speak out or hit the forums or something, you know, Ford's listening.
Jesus Christ. I got three fucking, I have to stop early. I just have four people pull up to my house and we're filming right in the front. Thanks guys. Brian, I need Christmas.
Yeah. So then a couple of other, updates where, you know, we've got the solar eclipse that happened, and the car company seemed to take advantage of that theme. And we got a handful of not vehicles, but packages basically that came out. Bronco took the Bronco Raptor and they did their black appearance package for the Raptor. And it includes black painted top, roll bar, there's fender flares, the mirror caps, the tow hooks, skid plate, a bunch of things like that, some vinyl graphics. You can get that. That's about $5,000.
Okay.
$4,995 for the black appearance package. But not to be left out, Jeep Gladiator did their Nighthawk package, which is you know, very, very similar. It has the 20-inch all black wheels, the black bumper accents, tinted windows, and a few other things that they did to beef it up. And I think
the world of gimmicks.
Yeah, right. And honestly, I think Rolls-Royce did it with the Rolls-Royce Ghost as well, although that kind of makes sense, and they'll sell two of those. That's all they need to sell. yeah, that's kind of what's happening out here. I got, like I said, I finally got the tires up on the truck and got to film the last little bit and get that video up on YouTube. It's just the wheel and tire package that we did on the Lightning. And I'm heading out to Eibach, I think next week, maybe a week. About a week and a half from now. They're not that far from out here, and I'm gonna go over there and take a look at their new lowering kit for the Lightning. So we're gonna do a little bit of a drop, close that wheel gap a little bit. It can't be slammed because there's a battery and stuff underneath the vehicle has some height to it, so I mean, I guess if you put it on airbags or something, you could park it on the ground kind of pretty low, but it's not really meant to be dropped as much as I think you could probably drop a normal F-150, but I'm going to go out there and see what they're going to do.
You should just stop wasting your time and drive it off a cliff. No offense.
You know, I've gotten a few comments about that as well when I posted up there. So now I'm gonna go all in and I'm gonna poke the bear for the commenters that tell me to drive it off a cliff. My thought is I don't really care. You know, I'm gonna do what I want. Do what I want with it. I lost my ass on that thing financially, so that's what I decided. Like I'm just gonna do what I want with it. I'm gonna modify it and
might as well
screw around with it. And by the way, when I put the big Nittos on it, those NT 420 V's, I went from the 275 to the 305, And it has, it looks like a way more aggressive tread. And this is not an ad. This, they didn't sponsor it. I just bought the tires. They're comfortable, and I thought they would be much louder, and I'm not really noticing the difference, especially on the electric truck where I don't have like the propulsion noise turned on. I just have it quiet. I haven't done anything to the interior. Like, I haven't upgraded the audio system, so there's no sound deadening. I didn't add more like hush mat or anything like that, or Dynamat to it. And I went out up on the freeway. I was doing, you know, 75, 80. And honestly, I didn't really notice much of a difference at all. So even with the more aggressive looking tread and stuff on it, they managed to do a fairly quiet tire. So I know you've got a bunch of them.
Yeah, they're not bad at all. I can't hear them over the engine noise. So
yeah, that's the thing. Well, listen, it's an issue, because I was talking to some guys that design different body kits and fender flares and all kinds of stuff for the F-150. It's like, hey, you guys got some nice stuff. And they go, it looks like it would fit a Lightning. It doesn't fit a Lightning. Ford did a bunch of little things to improve the aero and reduce wind noise, which is obviously a significant factor if you're driving an EV. It's like anything from the shape of the mirrors to the grill to any of it. It's just like there's subtle changes all around that vehicle. You look at it side by side and you go, same bumper, same fender, same whatever. It's not really exactly the same. There's some differences to help it, probably with noise more than aero, but it probably ended up being a little bit of both. So it's just kind of an interesting thing. So yeah, I see your guys running around in the back there. I'm getting ready to film. So you're filming the Daytona and stuff today, but I think you got the Willys video up posted that you were talking about before.
Yeah, that did really well. There's like three people that watched it. It's pretty funny, man. I put, you know, high horsepower vehicles up on YouTube and people love them. And then you pull out something as iconic as a 46 Willys and, you know, three people watch it. But hey, at the end of the day, people want excitement and it is what it is.
I think it's a cool piece, but I guess it does kind of show what the audience is looking for. I think it's a cool piece. I think that thing was fun. And I know you guys are kind of running around the property of that thing at, I don't know, 37 miles an hour.
It's so much fun, dude. I had a freaking blast in that thing, you know? So I really enjoyed it. So at the end of the day, I'm doing what I want to do and posting what I want to post. If everybody likes it, great. If they don't like it, then so be it. It is what it is, man. I'm doing this for me. So we're getting everything. Hey, yeah, these next two are going to be pretty bitching. I'm sure that with the supercharger wine, with the Daytona and the TRX, we're shooting the 2022 TRX again today also. So, we'll see what people want, man. But like I say, at the end of the day, man, I'm just going out and having some fun. That's it. Having fun.
We were talking about aftermarket stuff. You're working with Dakota Digital now, and I didn't get a chance to see your video there yet, but you were looking for gauges and stuff, something kind of unique to do in the Cobra. And I've been working with those guys for a long time. Tell us about what they ended up sending you.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the introduction.
You're welcome. They're good guys, right? They're cool.
Sure. We wanted to... Stuart Warner gauges, the original ones that are in there, you know, it's a throwback. I want to stay true to original, but I wanted to put my own little flair on it. So they're extremely similar gauges visually, but the back, the back plate is red. It's like a dark red.
Oh, the face. So, yeah, the face of it.
The face of the gauge is red. So at that, and we did a little Goldberg's Garage logo on it. So I'm going to do a much better video in showing and describing the gauges themselves. That was literally an unboxing, and I was kind of overwhelmed trying to display them and absorb them at the same time. But they're beautiful, man. They really are. I need to do a much better video to do justice to how visually spectacular they are. But I'm going to get the dash set up, and then I'm going to do a shot.
Yeah, we're showing a little bit of a clip on the YouTube channel, but yeah, these nice pieces. They made something really kind of special for you there.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And then I'm going to powder coat all the trim rings and everything. So it's going to be a good look. I will give you an update, though, on the wrap.
Yeah.
Full disclosure. Even at XPEL headquarters, the Cobra is almost unwrappable.
I was just going to say, I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done.
They are bringing in like the numero uno guy in North America on the 18th, and hopefully I'll have the camera up there, but they had to kind of outsource it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like shit about it, but I mean, it is what it is. I didn't realize it, but now taking it into consideration, yes, it's probably the most difficult car in the world to freaking wrap. So they've gone above and beyond solidifying our relationship and bringing somebody in, you know, and he's going to dedicate 3 days to it. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I think when it's done, whatever they figure out doing, we should, you know, invite them here and chat with them for a few minutes
kind of
figure out what the process is there. So there is a limitation to what can be wrapped. Right. Yeah. And it's interesting to know what that limitation is, because now we're seeing, you know, like we're seeing the PPF or whatever you want to call it. I mean, we're seeing versions being applied to the interiors of vehicles. So, you know, like if you have a dog and your dog's always on the, you know, scratching up the inside of the door, there's a way to like, hey, I got a new vehicle. Well, great. You can do basically like a PPF on it. It'll certainly last a while. And help out. So there's versions of that as well. And listen, some people also just scratch the hell out of the inside of the vehicle. But I think that's a smart idea. You know, like every time I jump into my truck, the big center console, I have like a cover that I can put on it. It just pulls right off. It's just like a rubber with a little bit of a grip, because my dog sits right up there the whole time so he can look out the window. But the gloss black, you know, piano, if you have piano black plastic and stuff, which scratches so easily, I would definitely do it for that. And if I was driving a truck like I am, there's so much crap going in and out of the truck. Before we didn't really have that. We didn't even think to do like interiors and stuff like that. So we can do that now. So it'd be great to catch up with those guys and kind of find out what's been new over the last, you know, year or whatever, when we talk to them, and some of the limitations on the PPF.
For sure. I'll make it happen.
It might be interesting for them if they're going to come up with a solution and go, hey, well, if we break it into more pieces, but then cover the seams with, like a color wrap or something, or like if they want to add any graphics to the car, like something subtle, like ghosted in, like a combination, like on your TRX, the launch edition, you have some satin wrap with some clear like gloss wrap. And I wonder if they go, oh, well, what if we create sort of an effect by doing like a satin and a gloss? And then it kind of hides any like joint,
that's,
any
that's
butt
why
joints.
They have to put the stripe on the car.
Yeah, like you were saying before, the stripe as well. So I don't know, something kind of interesting like that, because, you know, like you were saying with the gauges in this car completely, this is a modified Cobra, which is kind of built around the engine that you got access to. So you're not, it's not trying to be an authentic Cobra. Make this thing as crazy as you want to be.
Imagination.
You know, and if the end you're like, hey, it's got some cool, like ghosted satin graphics in it, and you go, yeah, it's cool. If you don't like it, you take it off later. But in the meantime, it could be an interesting way to for them to go, hey, we can get it done. Have fun with the car. Shoot the videos. Don't worry about the paint. It's protected. And if you want to change it up later, we'll come up with something else later. I mean, that's kind of the point, right?
Absolutely.
And the Dakota Digital guys, when I put the I had the mobile tire guy come here and mount and balance the truck wheels, But I've been waiting for a while for that guy to come by to schedule the guy. And I had him do my red Mustang Cobra, because if you guys think back, I found a small, I have hidden valve stems on those wheels. So they're on the inside and they have to be very, very, very short or they hit the brake caliper, but it keeps the outside of the rim looking clean, very smooth. There's no valve stem. It's on the inside. And when I was switching in that car, I'm going to switch to the Dakota Digital Gauge package, and they have a TPMS sensor that'll work with that gauge package. It'll be in the menu so I can monitor the air pressure. And with the hidden valve stems, I definitely want the TPMS sensor because they're a pain in the ass to get to. And I found the smallest little valve stem. I sent it to them. They drilled them out and modified them to work with their TPMS sensors. And then when I had the tire guy, I mounted and balanced those. I fit the one on the back and it clears by a couple sheets of paper. It's enough clearance that now I have the hidden valve stems with TPMS sensors that will work, or TPMS sensors, I think is redundant, but the TPMS will work with the Dakota Digital package in it now. And I got to follow up with those guys and go, hey, this is going to work. It fit well enough. So hopefully when someday I'll finish that car and we'll see if it really works. That day is not today, but it's going to be there soon. Okay. I think
I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah. We're doing a little bit shorter show today, but I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Go do your video. Have fun. Happy anniversary. Give my love to Wanda, and you guys go have a good time. And we'll see you guys next week. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.